I have enough sermons on Moses that I could just come here and preach on him all winter. I love the story of Moses. You see, Moses was the Jewish people's Savior in the Old Testament. Jesus became their Savior in the New Testament. Their lives were almost parallel. It's incredible to study these two, Moses and Jesus, and see how much they were alike. So much alike. Now, the last few days, I've been looking into Moses again. And I found this spot in his life where God turned the negative into the positive. Where God turned the heavens and light on and flashed it in the dark. I found this spot in this man's life when he didn't know what to do. And God said, this is it. This is what I want you to do. And tonight, this is what I want to share with you for the next few minutes tonight. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 2, the bush burned, but it was not consumed. The story of the burning bush, but it was not consumed. This man that stood by this bush was a special man. He's the one that said when he prayed for his people, before you blot their name out of the book of life, blot mine out first. I am ready to go to hell for my people. There's not many folk can say that tonight. There's not many here that go there for your own family or your own companion. None of us are ready to go there that easily. But here is this man that said, Lord, whatever it takes, I want your will done in my heart and in the hearts of my people. Amen. Well, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a season. Amen. He undertook the impossible. God said to him, go to Pharaoh, look him in the eye, don't compromise, and make the announcement, we're going. And that's the way it is. This great man of God. Amen. I forgot you were standing. You were... Were you just going to stand there all night and look nice? I'm going to preach about this little phase of Moses' life tonight that God's been putting on my heart the last few days. Maybe when I come back, I'll pick up and take it farther. But look at how it begins. The Bible said they cried, and their cry came to God. You see, it says in the good book that his ears are not stopped that he can hear us. His arms are long enough to reach us. He can see us. He has feelings for us. And he cares about us. So it said they cried, and their cry came to God. I've got something figures out. If God hears the curse word of an old sinner, he hears the prayers of his children. Thanks be to God forever. Their cries came to God, and God heard it. I was driving down the road some time back, really enjoying myself. You know, nobody with me, nobody telling me how to drive, just going along driving by myself. And I was praying about some things, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. I've loved you. I've been faithful. I've studied what you said about prayer in your holy word. And now, Lord, why aren't you seeing about this for me? I found myself sort of yelling at God, asking what was wrong. Then God talked back to me, and he said, I don't answer all your prayers while you're living. I'll get some of them after you're gone. I'll never quit working on it. When they've got you buried and the devil thinks he's rid of you, I'll still answer your prayers and reveal myself and lay my arm bare long after you've gone to heaven. Blessed be God forever and forever. So let me tell you something. The devil can't kill a child of God. You and your influence will live forever and never die. Blessed be God tonight. Now, it said that during all of this, that God remembered his covenant. I like that. He said, don't forget, I made a covenant with you, and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to take care of it. I have signed the will. I have signed the blank check. I have fixed the papers. I have made the covenant, and I won't leave you alone, and I won't forsake you. I'm going to take care of it. Oh, this beautiful covenant we have with the Lord. When I was a seven-year-old, barefooted kid, I went to an old Methodist mourner's bench in the day service of a revival. And on my knees that day, I didn't know a whole lot about it. But I figured this out. God made a covenant with me while I was on my knees. And He told me He loved me. If I give my heart to Him, He'd love me forever. And He'd never fail me. And His covenant holds good tonight. And always will. Blessed be God. Now, like this. The Bible said that God had respect for him. Isn't that good? Pastor Evans, you look tired. You are tired. You couldn't hide it if you had a sack over your head. You're tired. But I've got something figured out. The Lord thinks a lot of you.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, folks, look up here at Brother Hoots. He is very fond of you. You are very special to him. And the Bible said that God had respect for them. You know, He said, look, I honor you. I love you. I believe in you. I will not fail you. You are the apple of my eye. You are special to me. You are my redeemed children. You belong to me and I belong to you. And God had respect for them. Now, let's look at Moses here, what happened to him. He was a man of great military might. The greatest chariot army in the world. Almost unbelievable. On a given morning, he rode up in his chariot, and the dark-skinned Ethiopians came out and caught hold of the reins and the bridle bits and held the horses. Moses saluted to Pharaoh because soon now Moses himself would be the Pharaoh. He'd be the military leader and the spiritual leader of that great nation. All was going well with all his military might. Then something happens. The very next day, he is heading toward the backside of the desert. You see, neighbor, that's the way it works. Now, if it's going to perturb you, get ready to be perturbed. It's coming to your life sooner or later when you're going to be doing fine, and the next day you'll be on the backside of the desert. That's the way it is. A young preacher boy told me one night, young preacher boy, I like him, like I like this. I left this service today saying, oh God, if I had a boy like that, he saw what happened. The guy did. This fellow's mistreating one of the Israelis. And Moses, with his mighty arm, just went around and gave one little jerk and broke his neck and buried him in the sand. Then somebody said, I see you. So Moses, I better be getting out of here. So he headed toward the backside of the desert. It's incredible. Here he is in the light. The greatest man of his day. And now he's heading to lead the flock to the backside of the desert. There was not a more lowly occupation than being a sheep herder. Sheep stunk and sheep herders stunk. And it was a low, measly paying job. They lived out there for months at a time and saw no one. And here he turns loose the bridle reins and says bye to Pharaoh and heads to the desert to be a sheep herder. Just a common, ordinary sheep herder. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. God has no little people. And God has no little work. And it's much when God is in it. And let me tell you something. I'd rather be on the backside of the desert in the will of God than be in a palace outside the will of God. That's what really matters tonight. Blessed be God. So, he went to the backside of the desert. Now, I found something beautiful in the Scriptures. It said he led him to the backside of the desert, to the mountain of God. And right in the middle of the burning desert was a mountain. I started to tell a while ago, the young preacher boy called me. He said, Brother Hoots, I've got enough degrees to freeze to death. I've been to school so much. I've done all I know how to do. My church is getting more pitiful by the day. Do you have any suggestions? I said, no. Let me pray about it. We'll talk again. And he called back and we talked again. I said, I've got it figured out. He said, what is it? I said, you need to have a Gethsemane. That's what your problem is. You're just a little hair arrogant there. Something's not just right. You need to have your heart broken. You need to pray till you feel like the blood vessels won't hold the blood anymore. You've got to feel like you can't bear it another day. Then God's going to get hold of you and make a powerful pastor out of you. You see, the Bible said he was transformed. And then it said, and be ye transformed. And when God transformed Moses on the backside of the desert, he's saying to us, go to the mountaintop. Be transformed. You've had the mully grubs and down the dumps long enough. You've been defeated and negative long enough. You've taken a back seat to the will of God too long. Come on now. Be transformed. Let your face shine. Get a new spring in your heel. Throw your shoulders back. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. Be ye transformed. Don't stay like you are. Have a glorious transformation in your life. Hallelujah be to God. Well, then the Bible said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Isn't that something? Right out there in the middle of the desert, the angel just walked up and said, hello. How are you? I would have died. God knows I would. God would not do that to me unless he wants to lose a choice of evangelists. The angel just walked right up and said, hello. I've come to have a little visit with you right out here in the desert. And God sent an angel to appear to Moses. See how special you are to God? See how the Lord looks after you? And then Moses said, I will turn aside and I will see this great sight, what's going on. He said, now wait a minute. There's no lightning going on. I don't smoke. How'd this bush get caught on fire in the middle of the desert? Something is not right here. Every time I stomp it, it burns all the brighter. Every time I try to put it out, it just gets hotter and bigger all the time. You see, God was saying to Moses, at this stage in your life, I'm going to build a fire, and it's not going to go out. Every demon in hell can't put it out. They can't drown the fire of God. I'm going to pour it on you. And even as the fire's in the bush, it'll be in your heart, and you will never get away from it. Wow, glory. I'm glad tonight, after all these years, that the fire is still burning in my own soul. Blessed be God forevermore. Then something happened this neat. God called him Moses. You talk about being personal about this thing. One day, Mary went to the garden to look for her Savior. And she saw him there, but she thought he was the gardener. And she said, they've taken my Lord and I can't find him. And Jesus just turned to her and said, Mary, now, if that won't bless you, you're in bad shape. If that doesn't bless you, you better come to the altar twice tonight at least. Mary, it'll be probably some Monday morning about 3 or 4 o'clock, and I'll be heading home. My old body will be tired and aching. I've gone one more time. I preached the best I could. Got a lot of people to Jesus. I'll be going down the road, and pretty soon I'll be home, and we'll have breakfast, and Peggy will fry corn and bacon and make some biscuits and do all that kind of stuff, you know. And while I'm driving along, the Lord's going to sit down by me in the seat and slip his arm around me, and he's going to call me by my name. And he's going to say, Bob. I say, yes, I've come to get you. Pull this thing off and park it so you won't hurt anybody. I'm going to take you out of here. And I'm going to take you home. Glory be to God. One glad morning, he's going to say, Cal Ray, you've shed enough tears. You've fought enough battles. You've struggled long enough. Come on home. I'm going to make you more than you ever dreamed you'd be in the city of God. A king and a priest unto God. And you will live forever in the light of God's eternal glory. And there, where the azure blue of God's morning touches the spires of God, and the river of life runs out of bank, and the tree of life is shedding its leaves for the healing of the nation, we are home at last. God has called us home. Blessed be God tonight. So God called him Moses. Then Moses answered God and he said, "Here am I, Lord. This is me. Did you call my name?" He knew it was the Lord. He said, "I'm right here, Lord." Then God said to him, "Take off his shoes. This is holy ground." I've got a sermon on that. I got to preach that sometime when I come here. Maybe like one church where I was, old fella raised up and said, "You ain't coming back." But I went back. I mean, too bad he couldn't have been there to hear me. He died and was gone. Well, he didn't die because he said that. He just died. You know. If you don't like me, God's not going to kill you. Don't worry about it. If God kills everybody that doesn't like me, there's going to be a lot of funerals going on. He said, "Take off his shoes. This is holy ground." I've got me a new sermon on that. I preached on it for years and missed the whole point he was making. He said, "I have set this thing on fire. I brought heaven to earth for you. This is going to be the guidepost in your life to go from here on till you get to heaven. Now listen to me. I don't want anything between you and this fire that I built for you. So take off your shoes. I don't even want a piece of leather between you and what I'm trying to do for you. Take it away. Take everything away. Let your naked feet touch the warmth of God's presence and don't ever let it quit changing your life. Blessed be God. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground." Then Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look at God. And God said, "I have seen it all, and I know your sorrow." God said, "Not one time did I blink an eye and forget about you. Kept my eyes open. While you slept at night, I looked after you. When there was a critical situation, I saw it all. I never let go of you, not one time." Then the Lord said to him, "Now I am come down." "I was up there, but I've come down to visit you, Moses. I'm going to take you to a special place, a land flowing with milk and honey." Oh, glory be to Jesus. It's not going to be cuckabears and dead, awful, putrefying, junky, stale water. He said, "I'm taking you where the land flows with milk and honey, fresh milk and good, rich honey. And while you're there, you'll drink the milk and the honey run off of your chin, and I'll be with you. I'm taking you to a special place. Now, if you want to have an old dried up journey, that is your business. But I plan to go to heaven on the highway of holiness and live on milk and honey and enjoy the journey and stay blessed in my old soul. Blessed be God. Oh, the milk and the honey is flowing here tonight. Aren't you glad you're here? Aren't you glad you're here?" Now, they had a board meeting. Nothing like a board meeting. You know. I noticed something about churches as I've traveled a lifetime. The smaller the church, the more board meetings they have. Now, if a church runs about 25, listen, they'll have board meetings 4 or 5 a week. Yeah. Because they've got to decide where to set the evergreen, you know, and this heavy stuff, you know. That's meddling. Well, they had a board meeting. And it was a strange kind of board meeting. There's only two of them there, God and Moses. Moses, I could hear him say, "Lord, we got 15 more board members, but they must be late or something. I don't know where they are." God said, "We're here. This is who I wanted, just you. We want no division, no doubt, just God and Moses." And then they met together and they talked. And they had the board meeting, and God said, "Go out there and tell them, certainly I will be with thee." Now, Moses said, "Lord, I've got a problem. I'm going to go meet a church board or go somewhere, and just when I think everything is okay, somebody's going to raise up, and they're going to say, 'Who sent you? When did God die to appoint you? What are you doing here? Who sent you? What am I going to say? Who's going to be his name?'" God said, "Moses, just tell him, 'I am sent you.'" I am means always have been. It means I am now. It means always will be. Just tell him, the great I am has sent you. So he said, "God hath met with us. Now let us go." Now, I ran into something I really like. God said, gather the jewels for your sons and your daughters and spoil the Egyptians. He said, they think they're so cool and my children are so poor. Just strip the jewelry off of them. Hang it around your own neck. Put it on your own wrist. Cover up in that old silly stuff. And when we leave Egypt, just let it jingle and jingle some more, and we'll shout and praise God, and you'll be somebody. You'll have diamonds and gold and silver all over you as a signification that I have brought you out, that I have set you free, and you're on your way to the promised land. Hallelujah be to God. What a march that must have been. I'd like to sing that. Moses said, Lord, I'll need some proof. God said, throw your rod down there. And he did. It turned to a snake. He's not picking it up by the tail. That's why God used Moses instead of me. I mean, I'm being honest. If I got to pick up a snake, I'll just tell God, take me on and get it over with. I ain't taking no snake by the tail. Now, let me sort of conclude this. I'll be like the old black preacher I was preaching for, and he said, now, Reverend, we didn't study. Reverend Bishop, he called me. He said, Reverend Bishop, let me tell you what black folks expect. When you come to the end of your sermon, put on a lot of arousements right at the end. I said, okay. I didn't know what arousement was, but I tried to put it on. Now, the Bible said two things happened to them. In the first place, it said they believed. You see, one of the greatest things that can happen is to be a believing church and a believing people. See, if you put a sign right out front that said, we believe, you couldn't do any better than that. Because no matter how much we work and how much we pray, we've got to believe. See, that's the way it is. We've got to believe. So the Bible said all the people believed. Then it said they gathered and worshiped the Lord. They said, hallelujah, we're leaving Egypt. We're getting out of here. We're gone. And they worshiped God and gave praise to Him. Now then, they got ready to have a funeral. Going to have a burial service. I've seen some unusual funerals in my day. I've done some unusual funerals. I could write a whole book on funerals I've done down the mountains. I could tell you stuff you'd never believe. You'd vow I made it up. Not far from us now, they've got a woman has requested to be buried naked. She's read the Bible, you know, naked we got here, naked we'll leave, and all that kind of stuff. I told Peggy, that's the kind of luck I've been having. They probably asked me to do the funeral. I didn't really mean to say that, just to be honest with you. God said, well, we better have a super duper burial service for my special son. So he just took him on the mountain, raked his finger through the sod, laid Moses tenderly in there. Then the poet wrote about it. God took Moses on the mountain, showed him Canaan's land, but said, you cannot cross Jordan with this Hebrew band. But then God loved the weeping prophet with a mother's care. In his mighty arms he took him up the golden stairs. Loved ones will be waiting there, white robed saints all shining fair. We shall see them in the morning and their glory share. There will be no teardrops ever. There will be no death to sever. And heaven will be ours forever up the golden stairs. Now we're waiting, watching, longing for our Lord to come. He will gather all his jewels and he'll take us home. And while men cry for rocks and mountains, waiting in despair, we'll be walking with the Savior up the golden stairs. Loved ones will be waiting there, white-robed saints all shining fair. We shall see them in the morning and their glory share. There will be no teardrops ever. There will be no death to sever. And heaven will be ours forever up the golden stairs. Now then, this is a grand climax of the whole deal. They got into heaven. to get ready to start the first service up in heaven. The song leader comes around, sort of whispers to Jesus and said, "Are there any requests for any special song?" They said, "Yeah, we want this one sung. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb." They didn't say Abraham and the Lamb or Isaac and the Lamb. Moses was the one most parallel to Jesus. And then Jesus just got Moses right up there. He said, "I am God's Son. I'm the one that stood by you on the Mount of Transfiguration. I was there in the burning bush. I'm the one you had the board meeting with. I'm your best friend. I'm your Lord and I'm your Savior." Now then, we're going to sing. And that great choir stood, must have a million voices in it. And they began to sing. All of heaven was vibrating with the presence of God. And they were singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Moses and the Lamb. Moses and the Lamb. Hallelujah. Moses and the Lamb. Moses made it home. And he and the Lamb are having a reunion. Glory be to Jesus. Well, I say glory to God. I say glory to God forever.